Now today is what we call the Ascension Sunday, a time to remember our Lord rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples for 40 days, then was raised to heaven. We are left to wait upon the right time, as designed by God. Then Jesus shall return to bring in the new heaven and the new earth. This is a time to celebrate and remember, because this is the day new hope has arisen. Ascension is the beginning of hope for you and me. Another 10 days, the Holy Spirit will come and bestow us with power to witness. However, we human would like to know more. We want to have more. It is because we do not have a grasp of what hope really means. We would like to have something tangible in our hands. The point is not to know, but to have control. If I know Jesus is coming back in 1 week, I have control of next week. I know what I will do. On a positive side, okay, if I have one more week before the Lord return, okay, I will look into myself and see, okay, is there any sin in me that I shall ask God for forgiveness first? This is on a positive note, right? There's nothing wrong by itself. If I do not know whether Jesus shall return today or tomorrow, I just have much less control of my affairs. And life seems a whole lot more scary. Jesus returning next half hour. What shall we do? We may be scrambling. In 1973, the first Middle East oil crisis made havoc to the world economy. Many Christians felt that the end must be near. During the 70s, a lot of speculation books came out. One of the bestsellers, actually is one of the bestsellers of all time, Christian book. It's not only among Christians, it is the bestsellers in North America. The book is named The Late Great Planet Earth. Probably you guys are too young to know this book. It was a bestseller in the whole North America. The author put together the fact of the rebirth of Israel nation, political unrest in the Middle East, economic turmoil, and especially the Cold War between Russia and USA. He predicted that this is the final moment of the world we know, and proclaimed Jesus' return is imminent, anytime now. Then he wrote another book in the 1980s. It's called 1980s Countdown to Armageddon, and it quickly became another bestseller. With the two books, the author Hal Lindsey weakly hinted that 1988 is the year Jesus will return. So you know the rest of the story. Now, after 30 years, not many people can still remember what he has said. But this kind of speculation and prediction is still around us. As a matter of fact, Hal Lindsey still has a website promoting the end is near. And he still got quite a few followers. Now, after 30 years, not too many people can still remember what he has said at that time. And none of you here know what he has said, I'm pretty sure. Why did this author's book, why did Hal Lindsey's book and speech became bestseller? These books have a market. we are just too happy to read so that we can speculate too. This is not the monopoly of the Christians from the 1970s. In reality, right from the beginning, we are like that. What happened yesterday bounds to happen again today. We are just us and may not have learned the lesson in the past. The passage we have just read shows us how Jesus is mindful of us. Now, we are very familiar with the passage. Can you read this? Okay. I'm afraid it might be too small a print. I have difficulty to read it anyway. We are very familiar with this passage. I understand that many of you come from Awana. Probably you know how to memorize that, right? Zachary, Evan, Josh, right? And those at the back. But we will just put our focus in three verses, 6-8. Okay. Now, very often when the disciples ask Jesus questions, Jesus does not answer them directly. We can't help to ask, why? Why? Why did Jesus not answer the question directly? In the three verses we look at here told us the disciples were longing for the time the kingdom of Israel is restored. Now, according to the tradition of the Jews, the restoration of the kingdom of Israel means the time of Solomon's prosperity will return. So the disciples believe they have very good understanding of the restoration of Israel. Just like the old days, all nations will come to pay tribute. Lebanon will import cedars to Israel so that they can rebuild the temple to a even grander scale. And there will be queens of Sheba of the day to come to seek wisdom. They have a very definite idea of how Israel will be restored. But Jesus saw through their heart. He replied them accordingly. When Jesus asked about the time, so they asked for the time. The time is historic, a point in history. Just like we ask, what is the time of great tea today? Okay. This time means, what is the time for great tea today? What time? 2:30, 2:30 to 4:30, right? So, it's the point of time. It's historic. So, because the disciples knew about what the kingdom of Israel would be like, so they just want to know the time. But when Jesus answered their questions, he used two words about time. Time and period. Time, again, is the historic time. But the word period has another meaning. This period is a synonym, but has a slightly different meaning. Period is a time endowed with certain quality. Say, this is summertime. So, we have a picture of what summertime is all about, right? Summertime means, hey, we open the side door, okay? So, in wintertime, we open that side door. Those people who are sitting there may want it, but those people who are sitting over there definitely won't want it. So there's a certain quality. We have a difficult time. We have a difficult time. This period has a content embedded in the word. So when we say period, there's a content there. What did Jesus mean? Because the disciples believe they know the content. All they need to know is the time. But Jesus told them, you know neither the time or the content. You know neither the time nor the content. They are not what you think. What Jesus really meant is, you have asked the wrong question. The disciples believe they know something about the future. All they need is the timing. With this missing piece, they would know how to predict the future and they have better control of their own destiny. But Jesus told them they did not ask the right questions. Then Jesus followed on verse 8, a verse we can all memorize. Jesus needs to put their mind in the right place. What is important is not knowing more. What is important is trusting in the promise of God and do accordingly. It's not to know more. It's knowing what we need to know and trust in God accordingly. If we track back a little bit, the first half of this long book of Acts, the Luke Acts, Gospel of Luke is the first half and Acts of the Apostles is the second half. We are reading from the first chapter of the second half. We can find in the last chapter of Gospel of Luke, which is chapter 24, we will find Jesus has instructed his disciples all along. Jesus wants them to understand the Bible and receive the Holy Spirit, then witness for himself. So when you compare these two words, the one on the left is Acts 1:8, and the one on the right is Luke 24:45-48. So if you trace the colored pattern, you'll see they are saying the same thing. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Luke, then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from death on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things, and see, I am sending upon you that what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have clothed with power from on high. Go and witness for Jesus is the commission. Even if we are to leave our comfortable home and go to faraway places. Just like the STM we are sending to Costa Rica, they are leaving tomorrow, and then we have Tiffany and Johnny leaving in August. Going unto the end of the world requires faith. But the disciples have somehow forgotten this core value. Rather, they would want better control so that they can feel more secure. So when the disciples ask for the time, they want to have a secure future. But Jesus answered them with chapter 1, verse 8. Go into the world, to all nations. So they're asking for the time, and Jesus tells them the content. The content is not about the time. The content is about leaving your security. So when you go out to somewhere you don't belong, so much uncertainties. They want certainty, but Jesus said, no. I'm sending you out to uncertainties. Whoever wants to be a missionary, they will be facing uncertainties. They will be worrying about, so where my support will come from? Who will remember us when we are not there? I am not sure. So 5 years from now, how many of us will still remember Caleb and Noel? And they are in some boondock in Vietnam. We always worry. There are so much uncertainties there. There are so many new people we have not met, and they speak some language we just don't understand. Faith requires relinquishing our control. From Jesus' mild admonishment, we know Jesus was not entirely does not entirely appreciate this question. So Jesus did not answer them directly because the disciples had it wrong. They asked for themselves and did not realize they should learn to trust in God. They asked for something God did not intend for them to know. As a matter of fact, we have to learn or to trust in God's promise and do accordingly. From both Matthew and Mark, the evangelist emphasized, but about the day and hour, no one knows. They want to know the time. But Jesus has already told them, the time and the day you don't know. Nobody knows. Then Jesus admonished them, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. They are almost the same wording in Matthew and Mark. It means Jesus has told them, you do not know and you do not need to ask the time before he was crucified. But still, the disciples asked him after his resurrection. Maybe they think the time has changed. I can know now, but they did not realize that Jesus already told them, not even the Son knows, only the Father knows, okay? And they are asking the Son. This is definite and sure teaching of Jesus all along and has been taught for a long, long time. In conclusion, what God wants us to know? He has them all recorded in the Bible. For those things we do not need to know, it is not going to help us. Remember what we have there? The bright pin? Then he opened their mind to understand the scripture. He's opened the mind for them to understand the scripture. For those things we do not need to know, it's not going to help us. If I know everything, am I like God or do I need to have faith? If I know everything, I don't need faith. Maybe we need to ask ourselves first before we ask God. Why should I ask? Why do I ask? Many people will ask for the will of God from the passage we have just studied. We learn that what the disciples need to know, Jesus has laid down clearly before them. Jesus asked his disciples to go out near and far to witness for him. And this is not asking them to do something without any promise. There's always a promise. For the Holy Spirit will come and give them power to do it. What does power mean? The power means we will have the courage. We'll have the word. We will be able to communicate. That's why they speak in tongues. They spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. The first time he told, it was the time Jesus first appeared before the disciples after resurrection. Right after resurrection, when the disciples met Jesus, Jesus told them that. That's Luke chapter 24. The last time he told the same thing to the disciples was the time right before his ascension. It is a from the beginning to the end kind of reminder. Isn't it clear this is the will of God? What more will of God is needed? In reality, the will of God is not concealed. For we know his will and determine what is best because we are instructed in the law. We know his will because we are instructed in the law. It's all in the Bible, as long as we read it. Just go to the Bible and we shall find the will of God. All the time, Jesus wants us to trust in him, his promise, what he has promised. We can just do it without reservation and hesitation and let the world worry their own stuff. Let's not worry. And this is faith is all about. When we don't know, it is faith. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for what you have done for us. There's so much promise from you. that is adequate for us to live our lives. It's only that we still want more because we are so insecure. We want more control. But Lord, you are better than that. For all the knowledge we can have, we cannot save ourselves. It's only through the promise of God, with Jesus sacrificed and redemption, we are here. Shall we remind ourselves, this is what we are here for, to have faith, to trust in you, and witness for you accordingly. For this is a promise, and this is your commission. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.